Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B., and I am a recovered compulsive eater in New York. Today is Friday, April 1st, 2022. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are at page XXVI, that's Roman numeral 26, fourth paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Linda B., 12 Traditions, Christina M. The text is Elaine B., A Vision for You, page 164 is Robin P., and our backup is Julie E. B. Thank you, everyone, for your service. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. As OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Diane, and thank you for your service. I'm Linda B. from Ontario, Canada, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Linda. And now I will ask Christina M. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Diane. Good morning, everyone. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. In order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XXVI, Roman numeral 26. We're on paragraph 4, though we work out our solution, and we will be reading one paragraph. So I'm going to ask Elaine B., please start us off.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Diane, and everybody on the line. This is Elaine B., recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. Though we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as the altruistic plane, we favor hospitalization for the alcoholic who is very jittery or befogged. More often than not, it's imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached, as he has then a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. Now, of course, this is the foreword of the story of 100 people who recovered from alcoholism, but we have learned that we can apply these brilliant steps and inspired writings to compulsive overeating, or we wouldn't be here 3 times a day, 6 days a week, 5 days a week, and a special edition on Sundays, and there wouldn't be fellowships all over the world. It works. It's a solution. It's a solution. But we have to work out our solution. We have to participate in our solution. We have to carry this message. It's part of step 12. It's an integral part. And that includes working with others and helping them achieve the same serenity and sanity around food that those who say that they are recovered on the line have experienced. And that is my experience since 2013. The Big Book talks about having us, when we straighten out spiritually, we straighten out mentally and physically. But our mental status, when we come in, we can be befogged. And I'm really grateful that I haven't needed hospitalization, but I did need professional help getting a food plan that was nutritious and correct and everything. But I'll tell you, the second nutritionist I saw didn't really understand that there are foods that I simply can't eat. And so I had to filter out some of that by identifying what are my red light foods and ingredients and behaviors that I simply can't participate in, and what are the ones I'm not so sure about. And it's not really until I get through the steps that I'm safe with experimenting with what I, am not so sure about under the guides and holding hand with a sponsor. So, and when I did that, I found that there was one day I woke up and my brain was clearer, my body was better. I could sense every cell in my body. So we really can be befogged, and we can be jittery about letting go of our best friends, Ben and Jerry, and those other folks that we rely on for ease and comfort. And so we do need to understand and accept what they have to offer. This is an offer. It's a solution that has worked for so many people. And we have to be willing when we come in order to do this work. And there's a standard that I've learned and used is that three days without alcoholic foods and behaviors after we've identified what they are. And then your mind is really clearer to begin to start doing this work. And if there's a relapse that happens, then we need that 3 days again. We need to get on track, really identify what is our real issue of alcoholism, food addiction, and then we move on. And so I move on. Look forward to hearing what you all have to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I neglected to give us the reference numbers. So the reference numbers from yesterday, Thursday, March 31st, 2022, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time was 18,763. That's 18763. And this morning's meeting, Friday, April 1st, 2022, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the reference number is 18,766. That's 18766. I apologize for my omission of that. But thank you so much, Elaine, for your share. And let's see. Okay, if you want to share, please press star 1 to unmute, and please give me your name and state, and I will take a list, and then we will move forward. So if you'd like to share.
Sarah B.
Lauren.
Jen A.
Lauren Grace. B, New Jersey.
Sherry Z, Los Angeles, Southern Cal.
I have Sarah B, Jen A, Lauren Grace, Sherry Z.
Perfect.
Great. Okay, so Sarah B, star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Sarah B from Michigan. And this time around, well, I've been in and out of OA for some years, but this time around, I really heard this idea of the hospitalization period. And I'm just coming out of my hospitalization period. I'm newly recovered. And I think this is the concept that really has made the difference for me this time in being able to stay abstinent, the idea of being abstinent and working the steps at the same time, but also putting myself in a kind of a hospital period, where I didn't go out to eat and didn't try to socialize too much with friends or be in situations that would put my food at risk, and just slogged through the abstinence while going through the steps. And I had to go on faith a lot, but I'm feeling like I'm getting up and I'm walking out of the hospital a free man. So I feel like this idea of putting yourself in an incubator, even if it's at home, like it doesn't have to be at an actual hospital, but to like limit contact and to just put this 100% first. What I found was like program flooding in a way that I never had, just making the calls, forming the friendships and the fellowship, and going to meetings every day. It was a new way of doing this for me. I'd been to meetings, but I hadn't really taken it on like this. And I think because I kind of put myself in the hospital, that is why it's been successful this time. And I have had a shift in consciousness, and I am enjoying a relationship with a spiritual energy. And I really think this idea of the hospitalization period was significant for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And next we have Jen A.
Good morning. This is Jen A, recovered here in Littleton, Colorado. Thanks so much for taking the meeting this morning. And this is a big paragraph in the doctor's opinion. And it was for me, and it continues to be for me. It's a reminder. You know, the doctor's giving me his diagnosis, and I needed a diagnosis. I needed to be told what was wrong with me, because I wasn't just maladjusted to life, is what the big book says. I was a fucking hot mess with food, with exercise, behavior, pills, potions, you name it, restricting, throwing up. I mean, my life was completely a wreck. And when I read this paragraph the first time, it didn't stick with me. And why? Because I was still engaging in the behaviors and I was still engaging in the food. But eventually, as I started to realize that there was no more power than me and that I couldn't do it, and I went back and I read this paragraph again, I began to peel out the words and look at them and see what it was saying. And I love the word that he uses in here. He says, it is imperative that your brain, Jennifer Marie, be cleared before you are approached. So what does that mean? Approached with what? Approached with the 12 steps. That's how I looked at it. And what does it mean? It means that it is required, it is necessary, it's essential. He is expressing a command as the doctor and saying, like, until you can go further with your recovery, you need this hospitalization period of clearing out your body of all of your alcoholic foods and alcoholic food ingredients and behaviors. Because then on the next page, he says to me, then you'll have a better chance of doing what? Understanding and accepting what we have to offer. I love how Bill uses and in between a ton of words. I got them all circled in my book. It's like the and search. I love it. And I can't understand and I won't be able to accept what you people are saying to me unless I'm off the food. I'm stopping the exercise. I'm no longer throwing up. That's the part of the honesty portion for me. So I have to be clear. I have to be free. And so when we look at this part about being entirely abstinent, this is where it starts for me right here. The doctor tells me, get rid of it. Put down the alcohol. You can't have just a shot of gin here and there, Jen. You have to put the whole thing down. I think that was the hardest thing I ever had to do. Like, how do you just stop throwing up overnight? But I was so desperate, so dying, and so doomed in that back alleyway, crying my eyes out to God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, God, that I said, I am willing to go to any lengths. And if it means that I will never shove my finger down my throat again, and I will never take another laxative and another pill again, I will do it. And I did it. And I embarked on the journey that day. And 4.5 years later, I have absolutely no regrets. And I'm so glad that the doctor makes it so clear. So if we truly follow the doctor's orders and we start here with putting the food down and getting entirely abstinent off our food behaviors, then guess what? You too will receive the spiritual solution that it talks about at the beginning of the paragraph. And this unselfish interest of fellows, will you'll just want to shout it from the rooftop. That's why I'm so excited to share today. Okay, I'll shut up and pass. Thanks so much. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Jen. Next, we have Lauren Grace.
Hi, I'm Lauren Grace. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater from South Jersey. And I also wanted to focus on the idea of hospitalization. I knew I didn't call it hospitalization until in January. Someone spoke so beautifully on the doctor's opinion. But I knew that I needed something radical. I'd been in OA for 30 years. I knew I needed something different. A friend had kept saying, a vision for you, a vision for you, a vision for you. And I finally looked into it. And my hospitalization included doing 90 meetings in 90 days, which today is the last day. But I do plan on continuing in doing a meeting a day. I got myself a sponsor. I hadn't had a sponsor in a long time. I worked through the steps with that sponsor, identified my alcoholic foods, and went through the rest of the steps. I got a nutritionist for the first time in many, many years. I didn't eat out until I was finished the steps. We went away, but we went someplace where I knew I could bring my own food and prepare my own food the whole time. And I consider this so important. I've had two sponsees since I've been recovered, and I ask them what their hospitalization is going to look like. But I think for me to be a sponsor with integrity, I'm going to be a little more directive. And if people don't think that's the hospitalization they need, that's fine. But I think I need to work with my sponsees in the way that it worked for me. And I'm grateful for this meeting, and I'm so thankful for those who serve. And that's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren Grace. Chevy Z.
Good morning. I'm Sherry Z from Southern California, gratefully recovered in this program one day at a time. Thank you for your service. Very grateful. The first time I thought about a hospitalization, I was 19. And I couldn't stop eating. And I called my parents and and said, I need to go to a hospital. And I remember it had been announced that this famous actor was in the hospital near the one I wanted to go. And they said to me, you know, it's just too in right now. Like, it's not going to be good for your future. And 31 years later, I found a vision and my sponsor said, you're going to go into a hospitalization period. And I was relieved. I was like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for 32 years. And because I could not get rid of the jitters and the fog because I had a lot of progress with the food, but I didn't have entire abstinence. So what would happen? I would eat something, get jittery and befogged, and then I'd have another 3 days of detox. And then I had no understanding and accepting what the program had to offer because I was back in the food. And this constant cycle of being fogged and jittery and then detoxing and then, and it didn't matter what the food is because for me, the disease narrowed. It went from binging, you know, Ben and Jerry's to binging lattes. It didn't matter what the food is. What mattered was that my mind, because we have a twofold disease, my mind was completely befogged and I could not hear and understand what the 12-step had to offer. So my sponsor put me in a hospitalization period and I just remember being relieved, terrified, and also grateful. And sponsor, I hear that from my sponsees. One of them, I said, oh, I'm putting you in the hospital and here's what I did and here's what you're going to do because this is what worked for me. And she just started to cry. I mean, she was relieved. She was relieved. So we hear hospital and we think fear. And I think care and healing. And this is how we get clear. So thank you so much because I truly am here to understand and accept and to share that message with others. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sherry. We are now open to new sharing. Although we value your experience, can I be heard?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I can take some more names, please.
Sherry KB.
Donna KB.
Jane G.
Wait.
Deborah G.
Donna B.
Donna B.
B. So sorry. All right, so I have... Who is this? All right. I have Sherry KB, Deborah G, Donna B. Who did I miss?
Elaine G.
Wendy B.
Wait, Elaine G and somebody C.
Wendy B.
Not C, Wendy B.
B. Was B it? As in Baker.
Okay. And was there somebody whose last initial was C that I missed? Okay, Sherry KB, Deborah G, Donna B, Elaine G, Wendy V. Sherry KB, star one to unmute, please.
Mrs. Jones, can you give us the passage?
Sure. We're on page XXVI of the doctor's opinion, and the fourth paragraph beginning with, though we work out our solution.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Diane, and Team Friday, and everyone on the line, and welcome newcomers. You know, I really appreciate this paragraph, and it brings back memories to me of when I first was taken through the big book with a step guide, and I remember her asking me to go through the doctor's opinion and find out where it says that you have to put the food down. And this was the first place. This was the number one place first. There's supposedly three, and we'll see the other two soon. And I just remember how important it was for me to understand that I needed to put the food down and why. And it used the word, you know, we've been befogged, you know, which means basically we've been out of it. And, you know, if you look up in the Big Book dictionary, it talks about befogged being confused, bewildered, muddled, made unclear in character. And then imperative, meaning required, necessary, essential, expressing a command or plea. And, you know, before I can have any understanding of how important it is for me to have the food down in order for me to get the spiritual solution and to be able to connect with a power greater than myself and that it isn't me. And to be able to understand and accept the way that I need to live from here on out with working the steps and living in the steps and leaning on a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity and keep me abstinent, happily and contently and neutral around the food, sane, safe, and protected. Because otherwise, if I leave it up to the Sherry Show, it's a blank show is what it is. And, you know, another thing, too, is the first part that says that it's this, our solution is on the spiritual as well as the altruistic plane. And altruistic meaning that, you know, that we help others unselfishly and show up and concern for others. And it's imperative that we do these things. And I just have a little mini story I'll tell you quick, is also not only the alcoholic foods or behaviors, but also the ingredients. And what I mean by that is, like, if you and I went to a restaurant and I wanted a baked potato and they said, I'm sorry, we're out of baked potatoes. And I'm like, okay. But then they came back and said, but we do have it, but we don't have any condiments. Oh, we found out we have butter. Well, you know what? I would start with just, you know, I'd order one, but I'd end up with 100. If I have a plain baked potato, I would only want maybe even a quarter of it. But if it had butter on it, that's an alcoholic ingredient for me. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. Deborah G., so I want to unmute.
Hi, good morning. My name is Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much for chairing the meeting and everyone that's made the meeting possible. All the shares so far, thank you for 12-step in me. And I remember, excuse me, I remember years ago, 86, I went in for treatment for a number of addictions, and one of them was eating disorder, and saw a nutritionist and got in the purple group and all this. And I never, you know, I was just going through the motions. And I did for years and years just go through the motions, control, relapse for so many years. And going through the steps for so many years, control, relapse. And it wasn't until I came into visions, meetings, and got honest with myself and looked at this one alcoholic food after talking with someone, because I couldn't see it, the reality of it, the truth, was I willing to let that, and I hung on even a little bit longer, and was I finally got honest and let go of that alcoholic food. I was clean with the food, and went through the steps with an OA Visions, got an OA Visions sponsor, and went through the steps. And wow, what an experience. A completely different experience than anything I've ever had before, and a deeper connection with power. And I stopped giving power to the food and power to that power in step two, and continued to go through the rest of those steps and live this way of living, clean from all that stuff, so that I can experience it more, that I live in reality more, you know. And that doesn't say that my thinking doesn't get off, but I recognize the thinking's off, and I call somebody and I get help at, you know, what's going on here with this thinking. Or I do a 10th step, or, you know, I don't go to the food like before. I mean, that's amazing grace. And with others, my fellows that I work with, outreach, those that I sponsor, sponsees, you know, that they're clean going through so that they can have, you know, the same experience that I had, so they can carry it on to others to have the same experience. What a beautiful, beautiful way to live. And I'm so grateful to be part of it and part of this meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Donna B., star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. My name is spelled D-A-N-A, but pronounced Donna. Thank you for everyone that has shared and is participating in this meeting. I was thinking as I was waiting for my turn to share that what I have to say will sort of be a repeat of what has already been said, and is there value in repeating it? And then I remembered that is a part of Bill's inspired writing in the Big Book, is to repeat and to repeat and to repeat the same message over and over again. And in my life, there is extreme value in repeating and repeating and repeating the same actions that help me to remain entirely abstinent from my alcoholic food ingredients, as well as my alcoholic food behaviors. In today's world, the insurance companies are really limiting a person's hospital stay. I know from my own personal experience, I've had a couple of medical procedures that I inpatient and had to spend the night. And the next morning, they're like, okay, get up and walk. And they just want me out of the hospital. So to be hospitalized, to be authorized to stay in a hospital, is really a big deal. It's an acknowledgement that I'm really sick. I really need the services that a hospital can provide, and that I can't be at home alone administering treatment to myself. I need the expertise, I need the proximity, I need the technology, I need everything that is available in a hospital to my disposal. And when I work with a new sponsee, I really emphasize this concept of hospitalization because it's important that they take advantage of all of the resources, technology, proximity that can create an environment for healing. I'm so grateful for this program, and I'm grateful for all of you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Donna. Elaine G., followed by Wendy V.
This is Elaine G. I want to talk about a circumstance that really helped me a lot, that happened yesterday to me, that having to do with coming into vision for you. And the circumstance had to do with my sister. All I thought about at the time was me. I'm the one that doesn't have a relationship with her. I'm the one that has nothing here. And I didn't even think about her. You know, she's in assisted living, and she's suffering a lot with physically and mentally. And it wasn't until I spoke to my friend that she made me realize this. I mean, I texted her before I went to bed, my friend. This is something I wouldn't do before. Text somebody, no way would I do that, you know. And I think maybe because I had some abstinence, you know, that I thought about, you know, taking a suggestion. Then around 1 o'clock in the morning, I don't know, I was checking my phone because I was putting on some, sleep moods, whatever you call it, on my cell phone, and then all of a sudden I saw a text, and the friend said, "I'm still up. If you want to call me," so I called her, and I still had this on my mind. And she made me realize, because I was abstinent, could I hear what she was saying? That my sister, she's mentally ill, and anything she says she doesn't mean, with this behavior of hers. And because I love her so much, and, I'm willing to forgive her, but her son wasn't. And I can't do anything about that. But the thing was that I heard my friend. And before, if she would talk, I'd get angry with her, really angry. And my friend was saying to me, when we hang up, why don't you pray to God for your sister? And so I did. And I realized I was being very selfish, not even thinking of my sister, but just thinking about me. And it's amazing how when you only 2 days abstinent, I got that I could think clearly about things. Think clearly. I shared it with my sponsor this morning. And all of a sudden, it's like my mind wakes up to hearing the right things that I want to hear in my mind, not to listen to my disease voice, And I just had to share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. Wendy Z, star one to unmute, please.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to be a part of this group and say thank you, everyone. I still feel like I'm in, I think this is day 10 for me, so I still feel like I'm in the hospital mode, and I'm not in a fog. I'm more like somebody handed me the lottery ticket, and I can't quite accept the fact that I'm here with you all today. And possibly I won, because any day without food and binging and all the behaviors around it seem like a win. I'm still just shocked. I listened to this group one morning, and I said, who are these people? What are they doing? Who are these happy, happy people who aren't binging and abusing food? And I never thought that I could step in and join you. And just for today, I'm with you guys, and I'm starting my steps and moving forward. And I just wanted to say thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll now take some more names, but although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Carol G.
Penny L.C.
Whitney C. Laura R.
Okay, I think that's all we can do. What was that last one?
This actually was second. Penny L.C.
Oh, I got you, Penny. Okay, Carol G., Penny L.C., Whitney, you're welcome. Whitney and Laura, and I think that's all the time we're going to have today. So, Carol G., star one to unmute, please.
Okay, thank you very much. Really quick, I just got very inspired and just thought, how lucky are we as sponsors to be able to have sponsees go on a meeting and reinforce what we've been telling them? It's almost like how people don't listen to their mother. I mean, not to say that we're people's mothers, but it's just reinforcing the reading, what sponsors tell you, and then hearing it reinforced on this meeting. I love this paragraph. I love these shares. And I'm going to write the number down tomorrow so I can have it when I'm working with new sponsees and tell them, listen to the shares today, because they're awesome. Okay, I'm done. Thanks. I pass.
Thanks, Carol. Penny L.C. Star one to unmute, please, Penny.
Thank you very much. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And in reading this paragraph, I have to go back to looking at what I've learned, and I've learned that I ate for oblivion.
But then I learned that I have a physical allergy. So this paragraph tells me that I must be able to be cleared. My mind must be cleared before I can hear what I need to hear. In other words, the food was a blockage for me. It kept me from being able to even be connected to my higher power. And so once I can put the food down, then I can start to clear that brain, but I can clear that channel that can connect. And I know that the disease doesn't lie in the food. It lies in the body and my mind, but my will. But the food is what gets in the way. And so I've got to be able to release that. You know, I'm not responsible for my disease, but I am responsible for my recovery and doing what I can do. And this is telling me that I've got to be able to be abstinent and knowing that then I'll be able to hear and execute the solution. And so it's a willingness. It's a willingness to see that powerlessness and be willing to take direction. And I'm so grateful that we have these directions and that they do change lives. They've changed mine. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Penny. Next, we have Whitney. Star one, please, Whitney.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Whitney C. I'm happy to be here. Can I be heard?
Yes, you may. You are.
Okay. Thank you kindly. I just feel really moved to share today. I've been listening to this program. You know, I found this about 2 years ago. And I'm just my gratitude to everybody on the line that has carried me through some of the darkest and the best days of my life. And I know that this passage speaks to me because, you know, that was the instructions from my sponsor, you know, to get 2 days down. And then she told me what I interpreted was, and then call me. And then I didn't know if she would sponsor me. So for me, those first 2 to 3 days that I had the food down became the first connection to a higher power because I was so, so, so sick and beat up by this disease. I mean, I was eating. I had suicidal ideation. I just woke up every day just wanting to die. And this, you know, she said, I just made that phone call almost 2 years ago on the 25th. Of April, and she said, call me in 2 days. You know, I didn't think she would sponsor me. So that miracle that happened, somehow God saw that I could keep the food down for 2 days when I couldn't even for an hour. And to just those that are new or are still struggling, the hope that I have received through following the directions as they're outlined in this book and the way that it wasn't rocket science. It's just a simple order of things that happen and the miracle that has transpired through this recovery. I have suffered in this disease for over 40 years and it has taken so much of my life. And today I'm 2 years into my recovery and more is being revealed. And I just have peace around the food and I desperately needed to hear that message. So I'm just so grateful to my sponsors and to everybody that carries the message. And my apologies that I don't speak up more because this life over here in Central California, you know, Modesto, California, has been fully transformed because of this program and from all the women and men who carried the message of hope that I desperately needed. I have hope today and I have a plan for living and it works in rough going and I am so grateful. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Whitney. Laura, star one to unmute, please.
Great. Thank you so much. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. Great to be on a meeting. Couple things. One, I'm just speaking up because I feel like it's been a while since I've been on a meeting, and I'm like, I just need to connect to my people. Not been on a meeting, just talked on a meeting. I've been on vacation and stuff like that. But What comes to me is that it says, you know, we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as the altruistic plane. And that's what we do. I mean, we have a spiritual malady. That's my issue. And so this whole thing is about God, about finding a higher power that's going to solve my problem. However, if I don't know what my problem is, then why would I need a spiritual solution? And why would I even go and try to carry that message to other people? So what comes to mind for me is good sponsorship. Before I even put down my food, I need someone to explain what the heck it's all about. Because for me, you know, I thought that I could, you know, be in a diet and eat it once in a while. I had no idea about the fat, the allergy of the body. And so I need someone, you know, if someone's just going to say, put your food down for 3 days and then call me in 3 days, like, why am I putting my food down? Like, what food do I need to put down? Like, I need you to explain to me what, like, I don't know, especially the first time I come in here. I'll never forget it. Like, I put down sugar. You know, I need to understand, like, you know, you have to go through my experiences and say, hey, you know, this is what I do. When I eat this, I can't stop. When I eat this, I can't stop. Like, I needed to have someone explain, like, go through my history of food and explain to me what was going on. And then when I realized the problem, like, holy smokes, I have, like, I eat these things, even just a pinch, and then I go off the rails. Oh, my gosh. Like, I thought I could have it just once in a while, or I thought I could have a cookie but still eat something that had sugar in it and an ingredient. Oh, my gosh. Like, I mean, that was a, like, huge epiphany to me. To be able to realize that I can't have any of the ingredients, you know, and then, and also the behaviors and, you know, so ingredients, behaviors, and there's something else, but I can't think of it right now. But then, like, once I realized that I could put the food down and that, and then explaining the problem, like, I have a mental obsession, allergy of the body, and a spiritual malady, and that spiritual malady will always tell me to pick up again. It's going to get really uncomfortable, and it's going to tell my mind that it's okay to pick up. And unless I have a higher power, you know, so it just gives me, you know, then I'm screwed. I'm going to go in that cycle over and over again. So I just thank God for good sponsorship. Thank God for someone explaining to me about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, and that I have a spiritual malady that's going to continue on and on if I don't get God to numb that, to curb that mental obsession. And then I'm going to go work on that spiritual point because I need God, and I'm going to go, you know, just full speed ahead trying to just get, you know, uncover, discover, discard, and go carry that message to other people, because finally we have neutrality. Thank you, Jesus. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you, everyone. It's good to be on a meeting. It's good to hear your voices. Bye.
Thank you, Laura, and thank you, everyone who shared today. We will now close the meeting from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.